January 17th, 2010. It's the Watt from Bebro Show.
Bye.
Sunday here in Pedro. Back in Pedro.
Sounds of Pedro.
Here's the sounds of Pedro. January 17, 2010. First show in Pedro. A lot from Pedro show for 2010.
Yeah.
Brother Matt.
Howdy.
Yeah. And we got a guest, right? From Long Beach, California.
Welcome.
Oh, yeah.
Formerly Wilmington, California.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's Mr. Jack Brewer.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
You're in the same room with us, Jack.
And then technical point.
Yeah. Now, last night at the Redwood Bar and Grill downtown L.A., me and the second man got the privilege of sharing stage with Saccharine Trust, old friends. And Jack was a little AWOL from his band. He was cocked in the boat, and they weren't aware. So gig came time to do, and me and Pete just got there because of the big traff plug because of the Clipper game, and so I'm coming down the sidewalk, and Joe Baez is sporting a brand new Pete coat, was in a hell of a rage, tiny fists were bald, where's Jack Brewer, and Jack was just caught. I do this all the time before gigs. In fact, that gig that we did before I went to Tokyo in Mar Vista, kind of trippy game. Yeah. But I was cocked in the boat before that one.
Yeah.
The thing is, my guys know, so when it comes time to do some hatch pound, you know, and there's no problem. I kind of play better. I did it at Scotty's thing Wednesday for Ronnie, at the Roxy, you know. There turned out to be no sound check or anything, so I went in the boat and pounded on the hatch, and I can't went right to the. You know, first couple songs, you got kind of sleep in the eye, but that's okay. I was talking with Jack, after in between, actually. Well, we set up pretty quick, but I had to wait a little on the organ. Always nervous with the organ, especially after the Harold's gig. Speaker. But Jack was talking about the radio show and how he's been enjoying it. And he's been guest twice, so I was saying, it's great to have you. And he said, no, not just shows I'm on. You can explain that.
I'm sorry, but I can do that, but it's natural. But what's this, the guest, I mean, because they're not just talking about their music or their next CD or the gigs, and you should all come down there and stuff, but sidestepping that stuff and just talking about things that are more interesting, personal things. I mean, without smearing anybody or anything, just last girl, Van Coffin, how humble she was.
She has a Thai name that has 40 letters, but she likes
Pete. And she wasn't beating her name down. I mean, anything. It was just talking about her mother and her friend that she was staying with, and it was topics that kind of made you feel like you were comfortable with people. You felt good to be around with people who were the same interest as you, which I can't really find in Long Beach, and really at this stage we don't really make friends anymore. We have the friends we've made at a time when we pursued things like that.
I was going to say, because the culture of the old days was talking about stuff big time. Weren't just for watching the bands, also spieling with each other.
Spieling
so
with each other.
So as time went on, and the outside changed, you're used to that.
And everything is associations through work and such. And but it's just have the comfort of being in my house, turning the sauna, listening to you guys talk, and you went talked about parents dying and such, and my mother died a while ago, and what I had trouble with I couldn't feel. Well, I couldn't feel anything. I didn't cry or anything. I just didn't understand that. Without marking the exact details, And here I'm just trying to get wordy like I'm on a radio show. The function, it's not a radio show. You turn it on, you listen, you're just kicking it with friends, and 30 minutes or so go by, and you forget that no music isn't played there because everything.
Well, I should
mention
what we played though.
Yeah,
started off the show with John Coltrane along with Duke Ellington doing Stevie, and then something new from Hunnenham, Tokyo band called Vaction. Gave me their new album when I was there. Bass player was working the desk of the Prac Pad place where we recorded the second Brother Sister Daughter album. I get a lot of response, though, from cats because, you know, a lot of the music I play is literally from people who just I don't really go searching the charts for merch music or shit. It's usually stuff that people are playing.
Yeah, I love that Captain Crab. That's great.
Yeah, that's Fabian. That's a buddy of my organ player, Pete Mazes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
This cat from Argentina named Fabian. He's got a whole project, the Congo Square thing, to help New Orleans. And Captain Crab is an associate of his.
Oh.
But a lot of this music I play is what people give me. You know, after the gig, before the gig, I go and see their gigs. Because there are things of... I mean, Richard Meltzer said I'm his favorite sentimentalist, but there are things about the old days I really like. And I don't want to, you know, us to do a Potsy and what was the other clown?
Yeah.
Fonzie and Ralph? Yeah. You know, that kind of shit, you know. Act like we're in high school, right? 50 years old. But there's some good ethics of those old days that I try to keep alive in the shows. Part of it's the spiel, like you said. Part of it's making your own tunes, trying to make music that other people are not rubber stamping.
Freedom, too. I'm hearing some cool songs. I'm not being conned. To anything, no one's taking a survey.
No.
Or anything.
But I do get emails from cats that say, "Whoa, I would have never found out about this band if you didn't play." So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I get a lot of those.
Yeah. And you always say at your gigs, start your own band.
Yeah. That's how I end the gigs.
Starting their own podcast now too. I got an email from Antonio in Spain, I think, who said he digs on this a long time and he's starting his own podcast.
See?
So, yeah.
See, this is a good thing. This is a lesson from the old days. Like D. Boone said, right? One band for every block.
Yeah.
It's almost like one band for every pad. Or like if you're in Raoul's at the Peck Manor, a bunch of bands.
I got
room.
Four bands
one
now.
Band.
My house.
In fact, there's a chow there. Later on, some bands are playing, which is good because rain's going to be coming probably for the next 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Nice.
We need it. But I heard Foothills are going to get 20 inches.
Yeah, give me some mudslides. Falling.
Pineapple Express bringing three of them, and the whooper is Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, but, Jack, thanks so much.
Oh.
You know, when we hear this, me and Brother Matt started this show, what, 8, 9 years?
01.
Okay, so coming on 9 years in May. And mainly it was just for us.
So
we thought some music's deserving. Brother Matt do his spin cycle. He's very deserving of that. And extension of my experience having that pirate station, being part of that pirate station in Silver Lake, KBLT. That's the first time I ever was on this side of the mic. I never did this before. Brother Matt has a whole history of it. But it turned sour and mersh when he had to go from KXLU. So he got kind of bummed on it. But doing this kind of goes back to his older days. So, I mean, we weren't trying to take advantage of listeners, but we weren't thinking of the listeners so much. But it's to hear good things, I guess, happening now.
Yeah, I think that's just because by taking that approach and not trying to make it mersh or nothing, just made it real and cool. It kind of just kept tuning that with different flavors.
Yeah.
There's no playlist or anything. Yeah. College radio started doing that. And maybe I was, sensitive because, hey, I'm on a playlist or something. And, you know, I used to think was career oriented at one time. Or I didn't really have a career. I just, in my head, I had a career. So I would be down on things, but, you know, maybe not without a legitimate reasoning. I guess they probably feel it's a pain. They have reasons to do what they're doing, but you're not doing that here. You just do what you feel like doing or playing with your
child. Doing. Everybody's got a child, but do you always have to eat the immersion,
yeah.
fast food? Yeah. What about home cooking?
Yeah. That's
why I look at it as more like home cooking. Yeah. It's all child music is rhythm notes, stories, sadness, laughs. Everything else, it seems to get into another kind of culture.
And you don't have sponsors to please or anything. No. Just play music. And
this is the fanzine cool. ethic side of the internet.
Yeah.
You know? When dudes were putting out internet, before internet, putting out fanzines, they just wanted people to know how they felt and tell them about bands. They thought they went to some gigs and dug. You know, fanzines were so passionately written. You could tell that they weren't aiming at whatever. Demographic.
Demographic.
And it was integrated into the scene. That's how you knew about there was gigs happening in the other town that you didn't live in. In fact, his band was probably going to open up. He was going to help put on the gig, rent the Ukrainian hall or whatever. You're going to conk at his pad. I mean, it was all about people. This is just network.
And you got
network's a bad word, about fabric.
It was so cool having these little magazines, and your friends had it, and you said, hey, check this out. At that time, I never imagined the internet, and this was the way things were, and they were the way things were going to be.
We played something show before last from you and Marshall. What'd you call that band?
Milton in Newport.
Milton in Newport, yeah.
Yeah.
Now that was from some old days.
Like 76, 77 or so. And
some of the recordings from 79.
Yes, some of the stuff, that song was one I did by myself, but some of the other songs, like Waiting for You, Marshall sings, it's just like,
he was playing guitar with you, right?
Oh, he was a guitar and a singer. It was like rhythm, it was like. Later on is sort of like punk rock, and at that time we had no idea what punk rock was. Your guys were two. I played acoustic steel string, and he played the classical nylon strings, trying to do something sound like we were in a full band. I've heard that from other people.
You hadn't met Joe Biza yet, right?
Oh no. But I've heard that from other people also, that they were like playing some sort of punk rock music. I guess you would call it like a 60s, harder beats to it, and more distortion. But a lot of people were doing it also. So my theory is that it was just something that was in the air at that time.
Well, acoustic guitars laying around a house in Cano.
Yeah. Punk rock just kind of invented itself. I think it was just the next step, and people were doing it regardless of whether anybody else was doing it.
I think Woody Guthrie was doing punk on acoustic.
The protest and Bob Dylan, they weren't mutating the essence of the thrash. Four thing with the Ramones and such. You know, we first heard the Ramones say, "Hey, Marsh, that's it. You and I are doing it and such." I think a lot of people were doing it. We listened
talking
to
about the beat.
The
rock and roll beat comes from my theory, piano. R&B, that's where it comes from. They put a guitar on Elvis, you know. Yeah. They'll bring it on over for the demographic. It had been happening for a while. It's in Boogie Woogie and been happening for a while.
It was in the 60s.
There's a lot of interesting things that came around to what rock and roll They use that word in their community, but not so much for music. Well, what's more for boning. Yeah. But Alan Freed thought, well, this is something to sell teenagers.
Well, also, what was popular at that time is that during that time, when, the 70s, forum rock and such, the oldie stations were playing 60s music. Mind you, like 5 years or so before, they were playing 50s music. So they started playing 60s music, and people started feeling for that, like that Beatle or Ford. People just start wanting that back, and they couldn't bring it back in its exact form. It had to think as if it were the next progression, and that's part of why punk rock came out. Of course, is the great Iggy, and we were listening to him that time.
Yeah, he was a big fan of Little Richard.
But we hadn't heard Little the term Richard. Punk rock at that time. We just thought.
Well, this is the dishwasher guy. Wants to scream Tutti Frutti and wear women's clothes.
And
pretty outrageous preacher. For the 50s.
Yeah,
can you imagine? I played a gig in a Nautica. Nautica's an indoor swimming pool. And in the panhandle town in Texas? Amarillo. And he got arrested for taking his shirt off at the gig.
Really?
That's the kind of times those were.
Well, try to imagine this. If he didn't become a musician or, say, rock and roll popular, I don't hate to say the word rock star and such, but if he didn't, if he just remained a preacher, because he still wore those weird clothes, if that's all he did, it's almost he wouldn't have the explanation for.
I know he's going to tour again. He's having hip surgery right now, 77 years old.
I just had an irrelevant thought, but this.
No, I know what you mean. It seems kind of contradictory.
Peculiar.
Walt Whitman, there's a quote of his on the Brooklyn Bridge that says, "I contradict myself, so I contradict myself. I contain multitudes." Let's play some more music.
Cool.
Thank you. hair on fire, tap dancing in the middle of the avenue, with the cars and taxis racing by, seemed like a bit of a dangerous thing to do. She handed me some matches and some tap shoes, said, "Won't you join me for a little duet?" I said, "Sorry, but that looks a little frightening. I ain't ready for that just yet." She said, "If you're not at least a little scared, you're doing it wrong." She took my hand and said, "Come with me." She led me to the edge of the town, to a little shop on a dead-end street selling lawnmowers and wedding gowns. She said, "I've always dreamed of walking down that aisle wearing a white dress just like this." I said, "Wait a minute, I got this fear, you see, a fear of marital bliss." She said, "If you're not at least a little scared, you're doing it wrong." So before I knew it, we were married, and now we're always together, tap dancing in the street with our hair on fire, we're flaming birds of a feather. She's taught me some tricky, intricate steps, and I love her more with every breath. I don't want this tap dance life to end, so of course I'm afraid of death. But if you're not at least a little scared, you're doing it wrong.
There are no words. Making the words, the sounds into my head.
Who's?
I'm going to the whole book, but
Walt Whitman.
Yeah, and but am I really reading it? It's hard.
It's trippy about reading it because it's that old. But when you read it, it seems pretty. Doesn't sound like old fashioned language. I think so much of his spiel was absorbed by English language that his stuff doesn't sound that dated. It's pretty incredible. I was in Tokyo, right? From December 29 to January 9. And I made another brother-sister-daughter album. Tsushimi Mashuko, Nels Klein, and we had a guest, a new person with us, Yuka Hana. Cool. And turned out pretty good. I also played a New Year's gig, my first time having New Year's in Japan, and it's called Countdown Gig. Because when the time comes, and we just had finished a tune too. The guy was on the stage, side of the stage. He had the boss man, Kazuto-san, had written numbers
like Ring Girl.
Yeah, 10, 9. Yeah. It was hard for him to get them up that fast. So, but we did the countdown and had a good gig. I talked about it. I also did a radio show there with Jose Rose, who was visiting from England. His wife, they hadn't seen the in-laws in a long time, so they were happy to be there. In fact, I brought them on stage to play a song I never ever thought I'd play live before. This a song called Paddle Majimbe. And it's abstract about it. So I have never paddled in my kayak wearing a djembe, wear a life jacket. Good paddling yesterday.
Cool.
Yeah,
a bitchin' day, huh?
Dolphins came up on me, but I fumbled with the camera. I got one shot and one fin. It was.
Sometimes they're just out of reach under that close.
Couldn't believe it. Just right in the Angels Gate, too.
So then you took out the other one that worked out okay?
Yeah, Heather Thursday paddled. Cool. She never paddled. The other two times I paddled with her was Long Beach, renting those things out in Alameda's Bay. And
on
paddle Pedro and go out Angels Gate. Yeah. She did good.
Cool.
Didn't get all sore and stuff. She's really schooling herself with the viola with some intense professors and stuff.
Cool. So you didn't do any polar bearing in Japan?
You know, on New Year's Day, I've done 7, 8 of them in a row. You've never done a polar bear swim, have you, Jack?
Oh, no.
That's on New Year's Day you go out. And it was in, like, pictures. The high 30s, low 40s. Nico-san took train, though, about 40 miles north to this place called Inubosaki.
The lighthouse place, is it?
Yeah, the Todai, they call it lighthouse, so Inubosaki. Todai. He knew his dog, Bo is barking, so the dog's barking. Because there actually used to be, they're extinct now, but there used to be a Japanese sea lion. And they, and hence the name. The trippy thing about this lighthouse, and why I wanted to go there, well, I'd never been to the sea where I could put my foot in it. Ooh. You know, I went to Yokohama, but that's like a harbor. And, you gotta turn that down. And, so, you okay there? A whole bunch of noise. Anyway, this lighthouse, it was built the same year as our Point Furman
one.
So I'm going to check it out. And it was a whole different technique. Mm-hmm. Ours is like Victorian house. Mm-hmm. Theirs is like the traditional male organ. And no, you're not really in there. There's stairs, 99 steps. I went up to it and I got a picture of the New Year's Day sunset. Because of the gig, I couldn't make it for the sunrise. But it's got cliffs and rocks, and in some ways reminded me of Pedro. And it was neat. A guy from Scotland actually built them, named Bruton. He built 26 of them, I think. And they call them Bruton's Children. Yeah, so that was neat. Oh, I should say, I played a bunch of music from Japan right now. I started off with Okinawa Kome by Waki Ne, and then Small Bear Once Again by Takuma Watanabe, 25 by Keiko Hirooka, and that's Mr. Keiko's wife. She's a great guitarist, this cat. And Niwatori by Uri Gagarin. I was asking that they played at this countdown gig. There was 12 other bands. I saw all the bands.
Cool.
It started like 5:30. You know, when am I over there, right? Yeah. So I want to check it out. And they told me they mixed the name from Yuri Gagarin, right, the first man in space, cosmonaut, and then Yuri Geller, the guy who bent spoons.
Oh.
So they like mixed the names to get their name. Then 4.1 by the Shua, and A Little Scared by Sam Bennett. Now Sam Bennett's been living there 15 years, but he's actually from Birmingham, Alabama. And spent some time in Boston and New York City, but he's been there 15. I was supposed to record with him. We got a project called Purple Gang, but problem, first 5 days of New Year's there, everything shuts down. In fact, Tokyo people say that they like it then, because everybody leaves town. It's kind of more empty. Still in the trains and stuff. Maybe just for me being used to Pedro, I'm not used to the like teeming masses.
Yeah.
Swimming in the people river, folk river. Yeah. You've never been there, huh?
Oh, Japan? No.
No. Got to get you over there and play some gigs.
Yeah.
And eat some chow. They got great chow.
Right. Yeah.
And it was not as cold as last year. Still, you know, high 30s, low 40s. Sometimes up to high 40s, and the sun was always out though, and no rain. So I had a big coat and good gloves. So it wasn't like last year where I got that damp cold in my bones and
Never think of Japan. Think about Fred Taurus's. You can hear me. Okay, I think of Fred Taurus's.
Whenever you move that, it makes a whole bunch of fucking.
Okay.
Okay, so you don't
want to
do that.
Okay, but Japan. I think of Fred Taurus's mother, Iko. Well, she was sort of like my mother. I was closer to her than I was my own mother. But she would. When I was a kid, I was really skinny. I didn't eat too much because. All my parents only had Cuban food and rice and, you know, fish that you could smell 3 blocks away. It was bacalao.
The fish, right? Yeah. Right.
Yes, I go over to Fred's house. I should go over on the premise that was going over there to talk about poetry and such, which I really was interested in that time. But his mother would cook the best meals, and I knew when to show up. But all the best Japanese dishes, I wouldn't have gotten through those years if it weren't for her. And so we saw each other.
What was her name?
Iko.
Echo.
Yeah, Echo. Yeah. Yes, I'll be sorry to.
Happy birthday, yeah.
You know what that means? It was the 14th. Three days ago.
What does it mean?
A is like glorious, and Co is child.
Oh, gosh.
It's like glorious child.
Oh, well, she. Fred Torres was a glorious child. She captured him. But every year she would have a
child. That's a great name to have.
On New Year's Day she would have
better something from the Bible. Sure. I'm out of the Bible. You too.
Oh yeah. Well,
so his brother Matt. Said,
yes.
Your namesake. Wrote one of the books.
Every year she would have a dinner party at her house on New Year's. Make fish cakes for me, and I'd play guitar. And she liked people who. Who didn't try so hard to be ordinary, who would pursue things like music and weird hobbies. But I'm trying to speed up the story. But she left us four or five months ago and yeah, pretty much broke down. It was pretty hard. And maybe when my mother passed a few months later, I couldn't feel anything because I felt like. I lost my mother.
You lost Brandon.
She was my favorite person on the planet. So.
A few people in the last month. You know what, though? I saw John Jones at the Brendan thing, and he says, you know, our age, Mike, more and more of this is going to happen. Because we're not...
Yeah.
We're less young. So the odds of, especially cats that are even less younger than us, are going to, you know, move on.
We played the same night as your birthday party over by in Pasadena. In a brick.
Yeah.
You can feel this. For a while, Phyllis had been sick. And this is the time I was, getting used to people just leaving us. When we went to the gig, I was kind of in a depressed mood. But I saw Phyllis, and it looked really good, and it just cheered me up so much, knowing that someone I was preparing myself to lose was live and well at the gig, and I just felt so good just seeing that she was there. I just went up and just did perform one of the best gigs. Then one, mind you, we're supposed to be tragedy music, but I just felt so good to see that.
We call Saccharine Trust tragedy music.
Lately, that's a term I've sort of came up with. It's a new term. What's a theater? I think it's more theater than. Music.
Yeah, because Dog's Liberation.
So
tragic.
Yeah, but that's a tragic. Not tragic in the sense of hurricanes or eyewitness news and some shoots of film. A different type of tragedy. Tragedy. Oh, and you're talking about artists.
Comedy?
Now I got the stats. Now I got the soapbox living. Artists, someone who draws, I think, in a sense, sort of avoid life by doing it. To me, the guy who draws, I could picture this guy's ready to go out in battle and say, hey man, we're on the front line, it's a big battle, you come along. Say, oh no, I can see everything fine from back here. You go ahead, you go get it. I'm going to draw a real good picture for you guys and let people know this is pain, this is life, this is hardship.
Yeah,
oh yeah, well, whatever, guy.
I think David, was that his name? He painted for Napoleon. I kind of use him paintings to get people to fight.
Oh, yeah.
They get very romantic.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, like Vincent, his paintings are kind of celebrative life.
Oh, that's a painter. I'm talking about illustrators. Yeah.
Okay.
The painter, you have to go deeper into the realm of the dream. The deeper you go, the more you.
You mean like
subject,
Raymond?
What's that?
Like Raymond drawing?
No, it's different. Yeah,
because you wouldn't call Raymond such an escapist, would you?
No,
he kind of tackles things.
Well, no, because he's also a poet.
Yeah.
I think I wouldn't just call him illustrator. That's just one of the tools that he has.
Illustrator. It's kind of pejorative. It's like somebody tells you what to draw and then you do it.
You
don't have the original vision. That's what he kind of told me.
Yeah, he tackles. He tackles it, and he's in. He's in the depth in the pain. I've seen him go through things that. Suffer. Not that I think it's a good thing to do, but in
a
way.
Did you see the Joe Baeza drawing for the new Reactionary tribute album?
Yeah, that was really good.
Is that kind of escapist?
Yeah. I think for us it is. it's a depth to go to. For him, it's not like just sitting down and just drawing.
Oh, you can see a lot of concepts that go in. Jack,
but
we're at the end of the first hour.
Okay. All right.
We got a couple more.
Okay. I'll finish. But it's
well, hold that thought.
Yeah.
Hold it.
No, okay.
January 17th, 2009. No, 2010.
Yeah.
First hour of the Wapro Pedro show, all done. Hang tight for hour two. January 17th, 2010. It's the second hour of the Wapro Pedro show. For Beaver Show. Started the second hour off with The War Years by Oso. I get to play with Oso. Me and the Miss Men are going to do a little tour March 4 to March 12 because I want to take my friends from Tokyo, a band called Light.
Oh, yeah.
That I took last May, their first five U.S. gigs ever. I said, I want you to see some West Coast too. So. One of the gigs is going to be in Santa Barbara, and that's where Oso's from. They're going to play with us. And then a band from England called Now doing Party. And then It Ain't Gonna Save Me by Jay Retard. Did you hear about him? He passed away in his sleep. 29 years old.
Oh, fuck.
A couple days ago.
very young.
Yeah.
Yeah. So very sad about that. But to continue your thought, Jack, on
had it and I just
it was about Joe Biza drawing the cover of the new. Oh yeah, I should talk about that. The Reactionaries. Reactionaries was a punk band in Pedro, maybe the first one. And three of the four members later went on to be the Minutemen, along with Martin Tamburovich was the guy who didn't become a Minuteman, but he wrote some Minuteman songs. But we started off in 1978, myself, George Hurley, D. Boone, Martin Tamburovich. And Georgie had a shed, which was a big reason why we wanted him on drums. I mean, it was hard for us to find practice bands, but he ended up being happening drummer, too. And actually, it's the first time I actually got to play with Jack Brewer, Joe Biza. They had a band called Obstacles. I think I played on the show a couple of shows ago. And, man, was that a distorted piece of tape there. But I tried out for the Obstacles and didn't make the cut. And it was in the shed. And in the shed, the Reactionaries once did the only recording they ever did, some little setup thing that I think Joe Sindicich did. 10 songs. And we made 2 cassettes from them. And I kept one, and I gave one to Brendan Mullen to try. It's the first time I ever asked anybody about getting a gig, like, in a club. You know, he had the other mask on Santa Monica, and I don't know. I know he had it in his drawer for a while, a good long while, even when he was at lingerie. But when I asked about him a few years ago, he said he couldn't find it anymore. But anyway, I had the other tape. And Craig Ibarra, a Pedro guy. I want to hear this. I want to know about it. Because there's been one song on that Politics of Time Minuteman compilation, Tony Gets Wasted in Pedro. People knew about the Minutemen. Not the Minutemen. The Reactionaries. Sorry. But he wanted to hear the whole 10. So, you know, I gave him on. Also, so Demon Brown put up all 10. I gave him MP3s of them. He put them up on the corndogs.org. site. So people is hearing these songs. Now these are the first songs I ever wrote, and it's not too good, you know. But you got to start somewhere. I just didn't write. I only wrote. We've talked about this hundreds of times. So I only wrote one song as a teenager, and Reactionaries. I'm 20 years old. Yeah, don't you know about this song I wrote as a teenager? I think it was 17. It's called Mr. Bass, King of Outer Space.
Oh no, no.
It was about this. You know, some gig, and I play a bass solo and blow the rest of the band off the stage. Obviously compensating for severe issues with, you know, what's it called, the inferiority? Something. Rock and roll hierarchy. So Craig Ibarra puts together this concept about getting a bunch of people to redo the Reactionary songs. All 10 of them. And Jack Brewer's part of it. Joe Baez is part of it. George Hurley's part of it. It's not like we're all on every song. It's like, I think he did it almost by random. Do you know how the process, how he did it?
Yeah, I put names in a hat.
Oh, so it was random.
Yeah.
And that would make the different bands, the different units around each tune. And I got to do one with you.
Yeah.
1979.
It's 1979.
Jack was really going for it because he went and, I mean, I kind of changed baseline. I didn't know really what to do, be very faithful to the original version. Jack started writing other lyrics.
Yeah, well, I did two
but
versions.
But at the last minute, he did the real ones. But you did a couple drafts of different lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was sending me emails about, you know.
What?
For example, what do you remember?
Oh, gosh, now I've tapped my head.
They were kind of belidged.
Oh, yeah. They were funny. I mean, it wasn't my intention to change the lyrics. I didn't want to change it. I just wanted to do another parody of it for fun, for laughs, to update the concept as if it were happening in
30 years of 21st century version.
And call it, I think it's 19. It's 19-2009. 19-2009.
Do you remember any of the words? They were hilarious.
Gosh,
I mean, the words I wrote were like fucking terrible. Stuff like, all you Jem and DeBeck, all you Jem and DeBeck, you're not for real, so what the heck? You know, it's terrible.
If I think about it for. Okay, stop living for the dreams of others. You will only pay their mortgages. Try to create something new. Oh, we've done that too.
That's cool. Craig Ibarra, he's got a long history of making lots of cool stuff.
Yeah,
salute to him.
Very happening. I guess on the 20th of February is going to be the big deal where everybody's going to come out and try to play their songs. There's going to be like a gig at Harold's where everybody's going to try to do these songs.
Oh, you did a poem for it also. It was called Y and D at the Where's Joe Biza's party? Once Joe and I were driving to Pedro, as we joined his apartment, we first met these guys. I just met Joe, and we noticed this sign. A flyer was plastered to this telephone pole, and it said, "Where's Joe Biza?"
Yeah.
Joe, there was no address, no directions. That's all the flyer said, so he never made the party. Once, I guess Joe was going to Harvard College there, and he was really excited. He told me, "Hey, I went to my class today, and I met the singer from New Reactionaries." He says, "Really? He met Martin." I just remember how excited he was that he actually met somebody who didn't live
in Hollywood.
he knew about punk rock and then on Rich Lena and such. And,
oh yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. I still see her. It's just beautiful as ever.
Yeah. This is the great thing about getting
home. It's gonna be great records. It's gonna be fun.
It was recorded right here in Peter at the 15th Street house.
Have you been on the website?
No.
They show pictures of. It's called.
The URL.
Under the bridge.
Oh, waterunderthebridge.com.
Yeah. Oh, they show pictures of the process and journals. Everything happened. It starts from the beginning to the end, and you could see the pictures of what different band pictures for every song.
Oh, all right. I remember them taking pictures up on those steps when we got finished.
Mm.
Yeah, there was a little bit of drama with ours, right? A little bit.
Oh, really? Oh, gosh, yeah. I get my throat slapped.
It's okay. It's okay. Let's play some more music.
Cool. Good call.
By H.P. Lovecraft. West of Arkham, the hills rise wild. There are valleys and deep woods that no axe has ever cut. There are dark, narrow rivulets and glens that where thin brooklets trickle without ever having caught the glint of sunlight. And the gentle slopes are farmers and Scots moss-coated cottages brooding eternally over New England secrets. These are all vacant now. The white chimneys crumbling and the shingled sides bulging perilously. The old folk have gone away and foreigners do not like to live there. It's not because of anything that can be seen or heard, but because of something that is imagined. Old Amy Pierce is the only one who still remains or ever talks of those days. It began with the meteorite, these were not haunted woods, and their fantastic dusk was never terrible until the strange days. Then there had come that white noontide cloud, the string of explosions in the air, and the pillar of smoke from the valley far in the wood. And by night all of Arkham had heard of the great rock that fell out of the sky, bedding itself in the ground behind the well at the Nahoman Garner place, that trim white house amidst fertile gardens and orchards. That July and August were hot, and Nahum worked hard haying in his 10-acre pasture across Chapman's Brook. Then fell the time of fruit and harvest. The fruit was growing to phenomenal size, and in such abundance that extra barrels were ordered to handle the future crop. But with the reckoning came sore disappointment. For all of that gorgeous array of spacious lusciousness, not one single job was fit to eat. Quick to connect events, Nahum declared that the meteorite had poisoned the soil. And thanks heaven that most of the other crops were in the upland lot along the road. Winter came up early, it was very cold. In February, the McGregor boys from Meadow Hill were out shooting woodchucks not far from the Gardner place, and bagged a very peculiar specimen. The proportions of its body seemed slightly altered in a queer way, impossible to describe. Its face had taken on an expression which no one had ever saw in a woodchuck before. The boys were genuinely frightened and threw the thing away at once, so that only their grotesque tales of it reached the people of the countryside. In May, the insects came. Nahum's place became a nightmare of buzzing and crawling. Most of the creatures seemed not quite usual in their aspects and motions. Their nocturnal habits contradicted all former experience. The gardeners took to watching at night, watching in all directions, at random for something. They could not tell what. Strangers had come into everything growing now. No one was surprised when the news of Mrs. Gardner's murder stole around. It happened in June, about the anniversary of the meteor's fall. The poor woman screamed about things in the air which she could not describe. Something was taken away. She was being drained of something. Something was fastening itself on her that ought not to be. Nahum did not send her to the county asylum, but when the boys grew afraid of her, and tedious nearly failed at the way she made faces at him, he decided to keep her locked in the attic. By July she had ceased to speak and crawled on all fours. Before the month was over, Nahum got the mad notion she was slightly luminous in the dark, as he now cleanly saw was case with the nearby vegetation. It was Amy, one of his rare visitors, who first realized that the well water was no longer good. Tedious went mad after a trip to the well. He'd gone with the pail to come back empty-handed, shrieking and waving his arms, and sometimes lapsing into an inane titter or a whisper about the moving colors down there. Nahum let the boy run about for a week until he began stumbling, but hurting himself. Then he shut himself in an acid room across the hall from his mother's. On the 19th of October, Nahum staggered into Amy's house with hideous news. Death had come to poor Sirius, and had come in a way which could not be told. 3 days later, Nahum burst into Amy's kitchen in the early morning. It was little Mervyn this time. He'd gone out late that night with a lantern and a pail for water and had never come back. There had been a frantic shriek from the yard then, but before the father could get to the door, the ball was gone. For over 2 weeks, Amy saw nothing of Nahum, Nahum, and then wondered about what might have happened. Paid the garden place a visit. It was quite dark inside, for the window was small and half obscured by the crude wooden bars, and Ailey could see nothing at all. The stench was beyond enduring. Before proceeding further, he had to retreat to another room and return with his lungs filled with breathable air. When he did enter, he saw something dark in the corner. Upon seeing it more clearly, he screamed outright. A second later, he felt as though brushed as if by some hateful current of vapour. A blasphemous monstrosity confronted him, which all too clearly had shared the nameless fate of young Tedious. Commencing his descent of the dark stairs, Amy heard a thud below him. A feeble scratching on the door downstairs now sounded distinctly, and Amy's grip tightened on a heavy stick he had picked up in the attic. Slowly nerving himself, he finished his descent and walked boldly towards the kitchen. But he did not complete the walk, because what he sought was no longer there. It had come to meet him, and it was still alive after a fashion. Whether it had crawled or whether it had been dragged by any external forces, Amy could not know, but death had been at it. Everything had only happened in the last half hour, but collapse, greying and disintegration were already far advanced. There was a horrible bitterness. Dry fragments were scraping off. Amy could not touch it, but looked horrific. Amy could not touch it, but looked horrifiedly into the distorted parody that had been her face. "What was it, Nahum? What was it?" he whispered, and the cleft, bulging lips were just able to crackle out a final answer. "It lives in the well. I've seen it. A can of smoke. Can't get away from it. Draws ye. You know someone's coming down. But ain't no use. Sucks the life out." That was all. That witch folk could speak no more, because it had completely caved in. Amy reeled out the back door into the fields. He climbed the slope to the 10-acre pasture and stumbled home by the north road in the woods. Amy would never go near the place again. It is 40 years now since the horror happened. Something terrible came through the hills and valleys in that area, and something terrible still remains. "I hope nothing will happen to Amy. He saw so much of the thing. Its influence was so insidious. He's such a good old man. I would hate to think of the grey, twisted, brittle monstrosity which persists more and more and more in troubling his sleep."
First part there was, well, maybe the music of the voice, but it was Marky Smith reading H.P. Lovecraft's The Color Out of Space. And then we heard Wubble Man by Gravity of the Situation. But you're a big Marky Smith fan.
You said
at one time that's all you thought about. You sat in a tub.
come home from work and just play my fall CDs. And
my favorite one was album was called Dragnet. You know this one?
Oh yeah.
Man, was that good? It was recorded really Econo, but the songs were so good. And his spiel.
Yeah.
Good. What do you say? Wordsmith.
Oh yeah. He's the best storyteller. I like the first four or five records, but just really kicked ass. I mean, somebody describes them. I remember the days hanging out with you and Greg Hurley and such, and maybe I think we were sampling medication or something.
I
and
think
listening to the
Gregory
fall.
Was totally in.
Yeah, gosh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fall.
I think Marky Smith had a talent of like. You know, personalizing. In some ways, a rock and roll words got kind of generic. You know.
Yeah.
And he kind of like, you know, this is the way I do it. Maybe even invented some new ones, but even using the older one. I know he used a lot of his slang where he was from, probably.
Yeah.
But.
I love slang.
Very interesting cat.
Yeah, well, so he did just go out and scream, and I mean, it wasn't some guy trying to be the front man and letting everything go like you know somebody I know. So it happens to be me sometimes, but he had this subtlety about them, this control, like he, it, we was not didn't always have to react or jump. So when he let loose just a little bit, you were really grateful that, you know, you were just like a little high pitched scream or something, and you thought, wow, fucking the guy moved. And that was.
Did you ever see him play?
Oh, yeah, I saw him with,
Did you see that gig with the Flesh Eaters?
No, I saw the one he did a year before that, but I heard about adjusting the guitar amps and such.
Well, the Flesh Eater one, they opened up.
Oh, yeah.
It was the one with John Doe, when Christy played with John Doe.
Yeah, I love that.
And had some of the Blaster guys. And he, when the Fall came on, he was staring at the kick drum. We didn't get to see his face much. Very strange. Mm. It's time for the spin cycle, brother,
oh,
man.
Oh, cool.
Oh, gosh.
Flash.
Oh.
So, Brother Matt now is going to get his wheels of steel rolling.
We saw him when we came out in, I guess, 1980 or 79.
Something like that. He was really old.
Back to the audience.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, Greg Hurley hated that. He was, you know, for days and such. But, yeah. But that guy, Greg Hurley, was a great poet. I love this poetry. It's fabulous. I mean, inspiration.
Yeah, I think Marky Smith inspired a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a great part of the scene.
Yeah, I wish I had listened
Brother
to
Matt's spin cycle.
Yeah.
I say there's one opportunity. To speak briefly to you about the mindless.
and everyone, and everyone is me. One consciousness.
Drogas, hoteles, recepcionista, media hora, señoritas en tu cama. stone frequency. It would vibrate any strings that were present in the ground.
Thank you very much.
Cool. Thank you.
This installment of the Spin Cycle. What was on your mind as far as inspiration?
Figure we start off with a little Martin Luther King Day tomorrow. Got an extra holiday to celebrate, so figure we start off with a little Martin Luther King. Yeah. And actually, I think it was Bobby Kennedy. But it's all good. We got what we got out of the One Consciousness. Got some nice fat beats rolling in there.
Yeah. We're at the end of the second hour of January 17th, 2010. Okay. Watt from Pedro. She'll hold tight for hour three.
Cool.
January 17th, 2010. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
You may need somebody. You may want that body, but no one cares. Do you hear me? No one cares, because all that's for the icing, the hundreds, the thousands, the bubbly scum. As you might say, but what about the remaining millions? Is what about the lumpens? Lots, no developments. You don't get to start in song. Except this, that's right, this is it. You think Robbie's singing you, but Robbie's singing me. Weekend loads won't film you, says get me Jude Law instead, or Paige Winslet, and Morrissey won't sing you, or Martin Smith. You best get used to it, but thankful that you're not shoveling shit. Intentional, someone ate all the pies, but we still got some left in the sky. When you couldn't get picked up, if you were left in a skirt, don't turn to me, because you couldn't pitch a fool to pitch me. Yes, you don't want to break the Because the scum sell lies to the lump and the froth. Say to the dreg that you can have this body, then you can have just about anybody. Oh, it's a dog, nothing wrong with this. We'll half believe in it. Tomorrow's not a brand new day. Tomorrow's just a new brand day. Get back to the field. Get back to the ground. Get down on your knees. Get out the bones and knees. And learn to lump it.
for Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with something from England. The band's called the Reactor Core Splendid. Sounds like it's from England. Splendid. Do we use that word? We all know what it means, but do we use that word?
I've been trying to base it out for a while.
Booted the mic stand. Anyway, that's To the Lumpen. You know Lumpen? Lumpen? I guess the German word.
What does it mean?
Yeah. Do you remember your Marxist studies? The Lumpen Pro?
I remember.
It was like the very low worker class.
Yeah, I remember the book not you gave me.
Did you see that little spiel from... I wasn't sure that philosopher, some guy from old China, but it was before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water.
Oh, right, yeah.
After enlightenment,
yeah,
chop wood, carry water.
Yeah, I love that. I like that.
It's keep it simple.
Some dudes wrote me back and were like kind of bummed out. You mean there's no reason to live?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Chop wood, carry water. No, I think what he's talking about is some things are to be thought about, but then other stuff has to get done too, and it's okay. It's not a bad thing.
Yes, you gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah. Life goes on.
What was that thing? I can't remember. Family Circle or something with a little. There's some parody of it. It had the little baby, you know. They'd always have him saying cute stuff, but this time they had him saying, eat shit, same old thing. Fuck life. And a little bib on it. And then we heard from Ken Kobayashi, Magic Jar. Kobayashi is Eiko-san's last name. It means old woods. Glorious
old
child
woods?
From the old woods. She'll be blessed with that name. And then we heard, all this stuff's from England. Hamilton Yards. With the Walls of the Palace. I got to interview this cat, Brother Sam's Pad in Brighton. He told me about Beachy Head. Beachy Head sounds like a cute... It's actually the suicide cliff in England.
Oh, yeah.
It's over there. And he said there was a study done on it, and the statistical thing on a male-female breakdown on how's it done. And most dudes leap, but most women get on the ground on their side and roll off.
Strategy.
Yeah. That's sad. Yeah. Sad.
Yeah, Beachy Head.
Yeah.
There was a couple whose child died of some, young person disease, and they brought him in a sack. This is only sometime last year. And threw the sack Judge. Over and then jumped up. They were so sad for their baby dying.
Wow.
Their young one. Yeah, tragic thing. But he told me about this. Because when you hear the word Beachy Head, it sounds kind of like, well, maybe that's a fun place, but maybe not.
A resort for leapers.
Yeah, it's a big cliff. Jack, you brought some poetry.
I don't know if I can say I forgot or I didn't have time.
What's in that folder?
But the Sack and Trust gigs, I have my envelope with Sack and Trust lyrics. Maybe I can look through that stuff.
Okay.
If you need me to.
Okay, I'll play some more music.
Okay, cool.
Up to freedom, it won't come by sitting in front of the television, it won't come to blind faith or belief, and any god or any politician. Listen to your government expect the opposite from them. Corruption is more accepted than ideas. Sleeping with a Puritan God. domesticated in yesterday, which was more than we've ever been in. The history of this world as we know it. Are you consumed with consumption? Are you concerned with discerning? Are you judicial of your prejudices? Do you deliver your rendition? Thank you.
this anecdote. I was going to say to the sound man, and Joe Baez started the song too soon, interrupted it, so the guy didn't hear the punchline to the anecdote. Let me see if I remember what it was, but then really make.
Well, in the meantime, I'll tell him what songs we just heard.
Cool. Okay.
And it's stuff from Italy.
Oh, cool.
You gotta watch Slamming That Shit. No, Slamming on the Table because the mouth.
Okay. It's okay.
We heard Conformist Freedom, Reactionary Tourist by Sigori, and With Giovanni by Nestor Machno. He's been playing with Carla Bozlic, great cello player. And then Old Lovers by Cardavetro, Genoa band. Sigori are those cats. I did the show from Neo Pisano, just north of Firenze. They're the ones who were cooking the chow while we're doing the show, so the chow sounds, I don't know, I think it's a big part. In Italian culture, it's okay if you're chowing, doing whatever. It's okay. And that's some good music. Did you remember the punchline to your anecdote?
Oh, yeah. Well, I... went to mine, turned down, little acts and jokes, anecdotes. Anyway, I said to the sound man, could you please turn down the please turn up the monitors? And what I meant was going to say, the next time I'm not going to ask, the next time I'm going to beg. And Joe started to sound right after, I said, the next time I'm not going to ask.
And next time I'm going to tell.
It made it seem like I threatened the guy.
Dictator mode.
Yeah.
You're hell of a rage mode.
Anyway, I need to make a little bit noise with the paper before I can do this. Grab my glasses.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I've
read somewhere 26 of them in this.
Let me see what I didn't bring any poems in this in a hurry, but I happen to have a bag of the lyrics from the Second Trust show. I don't know by heart, but. Okay, blah, 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 blah. They have different copies.
Yeah.
Okay, what's up? You are.
See, what do I got coming up?
You can talk. Give me a minute to think.
Two of the guys from the Widow Babies want me to come and play bass for their new little prod.
Cool. So another Lapra.
I don't know. It's another. Yeah, Mike Waddy. It's the people who did the Mike Waddy EP. Did you know about this little mini opera? The Widow Babies. It's a record called the Mike Waddy EP, and it's this little mini opera where this vampire that looks like Abraham Lincoln gets in a war with me and chops my hands off. But I get my hands back on and I base a river into existence.
Oh, man. Gosh.
Yeah, they're young people, early 20s.
That's really cool.
I think two are Pasadena, two are Long Beach.
Cool.
And two of the people now want me to do a proj with them, so
cool.
It's going to be at the compound in Long Beach. And they want to pay me money, you know, like a session. I said, no, man, I'll just do it to do it, you know. And like a lot of this stuff where I record on people's songs that they just send me, I'm not looking. To me, it's investment in my bass playing. Mm. So since the studio heard that, I'm not asking for them. They're not going to charge him any money either. So it's very cool. Did you find your spiel, Jack?
I got a bunch of stuff here. I could just
pick one.
Pad and sure.
Pick one that makes you reminds you of Renan.
Of what?
Renan.
Artist. We just finished that thought real quick. Joe told me, because I asked Joe once, hey Joe, why don't you do drawings? Your drawings are great. You could probably do a show and maybe sell some of your drawings. And he told me because to get to the space, the mental stage where he can draw,
yeah, He's got a great talent.
Oh yeah, and he has to be in a in a certain state of mind. He can't just jump to it like it's a door that's opens and closes.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of concentration work.
Right.
And you know, I see artists are. All artists, they draw, illustrate pain, and musicians, poets, they sound out pain. And I think what people want to see and hear pain, but they really don't want to feel it. They want to think that they're feeling just a sample.
Like a Dumbo ride.
Sample it because it's romantic.
That's it.
Yeah. Romanticism.
Find your words there.
Oh yeah, a lot of words here. Can you give me yeah, I'm just gonna wing it, see what I can do with this. Can I
just leave it there?
Okay, yeah.
Work.
See.
Every time you do that.
Okay, I'll just go on if I don't. Once I don't like something, I just move. See.
Let it fly, Jack.
It's for a cause, we say. And less of a God today. The law is washed away, left are our marks to fade. I'm living indoors, my life is yours. Please no talk of war or who I voted for. I dream of your touch when your mind resurfaces. Well, you remember my love was not staved off.
Thank you.
It was never in my heart to haggle. Looking back, all I can see is the struggle. But can I say no if I need the money? I have no enemies, just a lot of irony. See, pets live longer through agony. A human suffers another breath. So I will close your rural eyes. They say heaven is so much like Mississippi. The bus seats many in Seoul. So let's pull out the tranny. This vehicle runs on muses alone. It's just a frightened little whirlwind. With little time for after the fact newsmen, the day's eager. When the best compassion could do was a quick kill. Still I squint to mask the smell of old paper, another notebook on trial, and I sing with the car window rolled down. If no idea is worth dying for, then no song is worth crying over. With the approaching storm due in time, I ran for my books and wine. And how dare they make me love when I'm sober? Cursed are those who sleep when I speak. While awaiting the king's arrival, I spent the afternoon hiding my idols. See, I've had it with the cures. I am not strength of yours. I can't shake your fears. Be braver than tears.
What was that?
From Pedro Show. We just heard Otis Toolache by Hag Sin. And then Who Cut the Cheese by Clean Dog. Team from DMF. And started off with Speedball. Everybody by... The name of the song is Speedball. I don't want to confuse anyone. The band is called Everyone... No, Everybody Hates Us. From Hawaii. Hawaii band. Jack's pissing, so there you are, Jack. Relieved?
Oh, nothing happened.
Didn't want to.
Yeah, it's sort of like an obligation.
Yeah, but I mean, I tried. You know, see, you know.
Your middle age is not kind.
Yeah. Things that I've learned. I used to laugh at people, use cliches and such, but now, I mean, there's sometimes there's more to that. And the reason some of these sayings have last 2 years endured because there are stories behind them. One I like is choose your battles. That really helped me a lot. Because I need to learn you can't win every argument, and you won't. Whether you're right or wrong, it's not my burden to convince someone who's wrong about
their wrongness.
Yeah, that they're wrong, and I think they know it inside, but they don't. Yeah, don't want to see that or so. All the energy.
Oh, you're saying the issue is besides the point. They're defending the ego.
Yeah. So then just let that walk over and let it happen. And,
there's an old Saccharine Trust song called "I Am Right."
Oh yeah.
Is that exactly about that? What are the lyrics?
It's funny.
Say the lyrics.
We have to put like everything in reverse. See, anything that is old is up.
Now
me
new.
When I'm young. Thing
can
is,
you recite them lyrics? Can you remember them?
Oh yeah. You were always cunning like the gay. Same for the guitar here.
No. Just
say. He said, "You were always cunning like the games you play. As your mindless, kindest friends would say, you got what you wanted, but not what you needed. No matter how hard you pleaded." So you're 18, and you know 18. Meaning now you're a citizen now, you're not a minor. You got to take.
But you can't drink.
No trespassing sign down. You know, you're open target.
You get drafted.
Yeah.
Those days.
You know it all. So how in the hell could you ever fall? Yeah, you fall for it. It's all the shit you're gonna fall for in the future, if you know it all. And, you know, such a thoughtless, gutless fool who taught you about poetry and kicked you out of school. Isn't that right? Yeah, I'm right. And no one is gonna tell me otherwise. No one is gonna fill this idiot with lies. The trash can jazz man really was a has-been. Though you lay him down like he was the last man. I know your family never took it calmly. When they pulled the covers, you were in jeopardy. With your mind on the freeway. With your mind on the freeway. Your mouth on the cliche. You walked in the party talking like you're the DJ. You had your rations, the middle class fashions, but the actual word at the end was, but the printed t-shirts really say, "I am right." I had this vision of people with shirts saying, "I am right."
Yeah, yeah.
The printed, you wear your shirts, to paint a slogan to really say, "I am right." I mean, there's another verse in there somewhere.
Left in Italian is sinistera. Sinister?
Oh, sinister. Yeah.
Right.
That
was a good one, but that was an old song. That goes way back.
Yeah, but that was like 15 or something like that. It was originally an obstacle song.
It was obstacles, yeah, before Saccharine.
Oh yeah, more so. It was an A flat and G. It was interesting. See, this song was we had typical ideas and you had a cold heart, and then we just went to F. No one's gonna tell me why. Okay, Joe Biza, the genius that he is, so I did, which is really good. And this kind of opened the door for me when he did this to different ideas, music therapy, because I was studying music music theory, which is therapy, theory, but it's just something that I couldn't figure out why it worked, but it worked. You know, we went to the F like this. It was supposed to go, and that would be the way to do it. But he said, "Let's go like this." A flat. Then put your F. You didn't change your F to flat. You just went to it as it was. And that little change just turned a song that wanted to be a typical commercial "give me money" song into something that had artistic credibility and aesthetic.
Great.
Some people just don't have that magic art and walking, something and touch it.
Let's listen to this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
OBPAC, OPAC, Kyoka from over in Berlin, Grip from ZZZ, I got to play with them, and Roma, but they're from Amsterdam, and then Shark Pants with Automatic Pinner, and they're going to be playing Pedro a little bit.
Oh, cool.
Jack Brewer, thank you so much for being me and Brother Matt's guest.
Yeah, always a pleasure to see you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing your words and your wisdom and your observation. And Brother Matt, thank you for your much essential aiding and abetting.
Certainly.
It's been January 17, 2010 edition of Wap from Pedro's show. I think next Sunday, Joe Viza wants to be on.
Very cool.
Who's never been on Wap from Pedro's show. So, look forward to that. Everybody, thanks much, and keep your powder dry.